And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studio right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, it is December the 1st. This year is just flying by. 335th day of the year. Leap year is 336. 30 days remain till the end of the year. On this date in history, in the year 800, Charlemagne judges the accusations against Pope Leo III in the Vatican. 1420, Henry V of England enters Paris. 1577, Francis Walsingham is knighted. 1640, end of the Iberian Union. Portugal acclaims as King Joao IV of Portugal. Ends 59 years of personal union of the crowns of Portugal and Spain. And end of the rule of the Philippine dynasty. 1662, diarist John Evelyn records skating on the frozen lake in St. James Park in London. He was watched by Charles II and Queen Catherine. 1768, the former slave ship, Fredensborg, sinks off Tramoya in Norway. 1821, Jose Nunez de Caceres wins the independence of the Dominican Republic of Spain and names the new territory the Republic of Spanish Haiti. 1822, Peter I is crowned emperor of Brazil. Yes, folks, at one point in time, Brazil had an emperor. 1824, United States presidential election. Since no candidate got a majority of the total electoral college votes in the election, the House of Representatives is given a task of deciding the winner in accordance with the 12th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Now, the 12th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution provides the procedure for electing the president and vice president. It replaced the procedure provided in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 3, by which the electoral college originally functioned. The amendment was proposed by Congress in December of 1803, ratified by 3/4 of the state legislatures on June 15, 1804. Well, under the original rules of the Constitution, each member of the Electoral College cast 2 electoral votes, with no distinction made between electoral votes for president and for vice president. The presidential candidate getting the greatest number of votes, provided that number equaled the majority of the electors, was elected president. And the one with the second most number of votes was vice president. Well, in cases where no individual got a majority from won a vote from the majority of the electors, as well as in cases where multiple individuals won votes from majority of the electors, but tied each other for the most votes, House of Representatives would hold a contingent election to select a president. And in cases where multiple candidates tied for second most votes, the Senate would hold a contingent election to select the vice president. Well, be interesting to see what happens this time around. I don't know of any mandate set up to deal with election fraud. 1828, Argentine General Juan Lavelle makes a coup against Governor Manuel Dorrego, beginning the Decembrist Revolution. 1834, slavery is abolished in the Cape Colony in accordance with the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833. 1862, in his State of the Union Address, Lincoln reaffirms the necessity of ending slavery as ordered 10 weeks earlier in the Emancipation Proclamation. But what most people don't stop to think about is the Emancipation Proclamation applied to those states in rebellion against the United States. Didn't free anybody else. And technically speaking, since they were in rebellion, he didn't have authority over them. 1865, Shaw University, the first historically black university in the southern U.S., is founded in Raleigh, North Carolina. 1913, the Buenos Aires Metro, the first underground railway system in the southern hemisphere in Latin America, begins operation. 1913, Ford Motor Company introduces the first moving assembly line. 1913, Crete, having obtained self-rule from Turkey after the First Balkan War, is annexed by Greece. 1918, Transylvania unites with Romania following the incorporation of Bessarabia and Bukovina, thus concluding the Great Union. They incorporated Bessarabia March 27th and Bukovina on November 28th. 1918, Iceland becomes a sovereign state, but remains part of the Danish kingdom. Also in 1918, the Kingdom of Serbs, Croats, and Slovenes, later known as the Kingdom of Yugoslavia, is proclaimed. 1919, Lady Astor becomes the first female member of Parliament to take her seat in the House of Commons of the United Kingdom. She had been elected to that position November 28th. 1924, the National Hockey League's first United States-based franchise, the Boston Bruins, plays their first game in league play at home, while at the still-existing Boston Arena indoor hockey facility. 1934, in the Soviet Union, the Politburo member Sergei Kirov is assassinated. The Stalin uses that incident as a pretext to initiate the Great Purge, where he got rid of all the folks that weren't totally loyal to him in his mind. And being paranoid, nobody was totally loyal. 1941, World War II, Emperor Hirohito of Japan gives the final approval to initiate war against the U.S. Also in 1941, Fiorello LaGuardia, Mayor of New York and Director of the Office of Civilian Defense, decides Administrative Order 9, creating the Civil Air Patrol. 1952, the New York Daily News reports the news of Christine Jorgensen, the first notable case of sex reassignment surgery. 1955, Civil Rights Movement, Montgomery, Alabama. Seamstress Rosa Parks refuses to give up her bus seat to a white man arrested for violating the city's racial segregation laws, and this incident led to the city's bus boycott. 1958, Central African Republic attained self-rule within the French Union. Also in 1958, Our Lady of the Angels School fire in Chicago kills 92 children and 3 nuns. 1959, opening date for the signature of the Antarctic Treaty, which sets aside Antarctica as a scientific preserve and bans military activity on the continent. There was a lot of military activity in the 40s during World War II. 1964, Vietnam War. Lyndon B. Johnson and his top-ranking advisors meet to discuss plans to bomb North Vietnam. In 1969, the Vietnam War, the first draft lottery in the United States is held since World War II. 1971, Cambodian Civil War. Khmer Rouge rebels instantly intensify assault on Cambodian government positions, forcing their retreat from Kampong Thamar and nearby Ba Re. 1973, Papua New Guinea gains self-governance from Australia. 1974, TWA Flight 514, a Boeing 727, crashes northwest of Dulles International Airport, kills all 92 people on board. 1974, Northwest Airlines Flight 6231, another Boeing 727, crashes northwest of Kennedy International Airport. 1981, NX Adria Avio Promet Flight 1308, a McDonnell Douglas MD-80, crashes in Corsica, kills all 180 people on board. 1984, NASA conducts the controlled impact demonstration, where an airliner is deliberately crashed in order to test technologies and gather data to help improve survivability of crashes. 1988, World AIDS Day is proclaimed worldwide by the UN member states. 1989, Philippine coup attempt. The right-wing military rebel Reform the Armed Forces movement attempts to oust Philippine President Corazon Aquino in a failed bloody coup d'etat. 1989, Cold War. East Germany's parliament abolishes the constitutional provision granting the Communist Party the leading role in the state. 1990, Channel Tunnel section started from the United Kingdom and France meet beneath the seabed. 1991, Cold War. Ukrainian voters overwhelmingly approve a referendum for independence from the Soviet Union. 1997, in the Indian state of Bihar, Ranveer Sinha attacks the CPL, Party Unity stronghold, Lakshmanpur Bath, killing over 63 lower caste people. 1997, Heath High School shooting in West Paducah, Kentucky. And in 2000, Vincent Fox Quesada is inaugurated as President of Mexico, marking the first peaceful transfer of executive federal power to an opposing political party following a free and democratic election in Mexico's history. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances. Battle of the Sinop Day in Russia. Christian Feast Day. Alexander Bryant. Ansanus. Blessed Bruna Palisi. Castrillion. Blessed Charles de Foucauld. Edmund Campion. Eligius. Evansius. Gorst. Nahum, Nicholas Farrar in the Episcopal Church, Ralph Sherwin, Yersinicus of Brescia, Damrong Rajanabhab Day in Thailand, earliest day on which Farmer's Day can fall, December 7th, Solatius, celebrated on the first Friday in December in Ghana, earliest day on which Good Neighborliness Day can fall, December 7th is Solatius, celebrated on the first Sunday in December in Turkmenistan. Earliest day on which Sindhi Cultural Day can fall, December 7th is the latest. Celebrated on the first Sunday in December. First President's Day in Kazakhstan. Freedom and Democracy Day in Chad. Great Union Day celebrates the union of Transylvania with Romania in 1918. It's celebrated in Romania. Military Abolition Day in Costa Rica.
Motion detected at the front door.
National Day in Myanmar. Okay. National Day in Myanmar. Republic Day in Central African Republic. Restoration of Independence Day in Portugal. Rosa Parks Day in Ohio and Oregon in the U.S. Self-Governance Day in Iceland. Teacher's Day in Panama. And World AIDS Day internationally. And Day Without Art. All right. See what else we got. Pope Adrian the First, or also Hadrian the First, as he's known, elected the 1167. The North Italian towns formed the Lombardy League. 1566, Spanish King Philip II names Fernando Alvarez as Duke of Alva. 1626, Pasha Muhammad ibn Farouk, the tyrannical governor of Jerusalem, is driven out. 1641, Massachusetts becomes the first colony to give statutory recognition to slavery. 1653, and this is just a matter of interest, an athlete from Croydon is reported to have run 20 miles from St. Albans to London in less than 90 minutes. Of course, there were no traffic jams. 1742, Empress Elizabeth orders expulsion of all Jews from Russia. 1750, the first school in America to offer manual training courses opens in Maryland. 1783, Jacques Charles and Nicholas Roberts makes the first untethered ascension with gas hydrogen balloon in Paris. 1822, Franz Liszt, age 11, debuts as a pianist for Isabella Kölbrain. 1824, House of Representatives begins to decide the outcome of the election deadlock between John Quincy Adams and Andrew Jackson. Adam wins. 1831, due to cold weather, the Erie Canal closes down for an entire month. 1864, the raid at Stoneham, Knoxville, Tennessee to Saltville, Virginia. 1868, John D. Rockefeller begins an anti-oil war, which is interesting considering he was the best-known oil industrialist. 1878, the first White House telephone is installed. 1884, near Frisco, New Mexico, Deputy Sheriff Alfredo Baca holds off a gang of 80 Texas cowboys who want to kill him for arresting Charles McCarty. 1887, Sherlock Holmes, first appearance in print in Study in Scarlet by Arthur Conan Doyle. 1900, Porfirio Diaz, who has a number of things named after him here in El Paso, is inaugurated for his sixth consecutive term as president of Mexico. He was basically a dictator and planned to be president for life. 1903, the first Western film, The Great Train Robbery, is released. 1906, Cinema Omnia Path, the world's first cinema that opens in Paris. 1906, German shoemaker Wilhelm Voigt, captain of Köpenick, sentenced to 4 years for forgery after posing as a Prussian officer. 1913, the first drive-up gasoline station opens. 1913, the flag of Greece officially raised at Furka Fortress, Chaney Crete, symbolizing the union of Crete and Greece. 1915, the U.S. requests Germany withdraw its military and naval attachés from the embassy in Washington. 1916, there's a virtual civil war in Greece as royalists fight.
Motion detected at the garage door.
Alfarios, Venezuela, Venizelos, Liberal Party. Allies ensure that Venizelos wins. 1921, the first U.S. helium-filled dirigible makes its first flight. 1921, the U.S. Post Office establishes a philatelic agency that deals with stamps. 1922, the first skywriting over the U.S. It said, "Hello, USA." It was done by Captain Turner of the RAF. 1922, the Polish State Chief Marshal Józef Piłsudski resigns. 1924, La Révolution sur l'Est publishes its first issue in Paris, edited by André Breton. 1929 by Edwin Lowe. 1931, the Ottawa branch of the Royal Mint begins operation as the Royal Canadian Mint. 1933, Rudolf Hess and Ernest Röhm become ministers in Hitler's government. 1937, Japan recognizes Francisco Franco's government in Spain. 1941, the British cruiser Devonshire sinks the German sub Python. All right, I think that's done it for our history. Let's see what else we got. You know, one of the things that has made this a difficult time period, besides the pandemic, are all the scams that's taking advantage of people. You know, no matter what online system you look at, there are scams. Before the election, my wife, who professionally has a Hispanic name, got a phone call and was told who she had to vote for, and if she didn't, she'd be deported. And she said she didn't want to go back to Kansas, but I guess she would if she had to. They got offended and hung up because they thought she was from Mexico, as so many people here are. I got an interesting phone call. If I didn't vote the right way, I was going to be arrested and sent for re-education. Then, of course, we have phishing. Somebody tries to get access to your Facebook account by sending you a suspicious message or a link that asks for your personal information.
Motion detected at the front door.
If, frankly, if you accidentally entered your username or password into a strange link, somebody might be able to log into your account. I've got numerous messages from a Federal Credit Union that there's something off my account and I need to log in so that they can we can get it all straightened out. I talked to the credit union. I don't have an account there. I never had an account there. But if I do go to that site and log in, then I'm not really logging in with them. I'm logging in with a group of scammers. Now, there are seven well-known Facebook scams. Now, unlike the email spam of the late 90s and early 2000s, Facebook scams can be harder to spot. They hide in plain sight and recycle old tactics by preying on some of the most trusting members of society. I know of people who... The best known is probably the Nigerian prince. I've known a lot of people have fallen for that one. One man I knew in England was told if he would just pay the transfer fee, which was $15,000, I think, this Nigerian prince had decided to give him $50 million. And he was so into it, he mortgaged his house and flew to Nigeria in order to bring back his cashier's check for $50 million. And he carried with him the cash of U.S. $15,000, I think it was. When he got to Nigeria, he got arrested and thrown in jail, and it cost him another $20,000 in addition to the $15,000 to get out of jail. And, of course, there was no Nigerian prince. Now, phishing, it's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, is the act of impersonating a service to convince a target to give up their login information. And while Facebook phishing is ultimately no different than any other kind, it's significant because some of the other scams rely heavily on compromised accounts. Now, most of it takes place over email when a scammer sends a message asking a target to log into their account, recover their password, or verify account details. When you click on that link, you're taken to a website that looks very much like Facebook, but it's actually hosted by somebody else. You can spot a scam like this by looking at the address bar. If it reads anything other than Facebook.com, then it's a scam. Now, Facebook doesn't often send out notices asking users to verify their accounts. Unless you haven't logged in for years, your Facebook account doesn't require any other action. And even if you suspect the notice to be legitimate, you should still go to Facebook.com directly rather than following a link in an email. Now, scammers have taken to using Facebook's event system to trick you into paying over the odds for event tickets. These overpriced tickets don't really exist in the first place. And if you're unlucky enough to fall for the scam, you're also unlikely to be able to get your money back. They create an event page for a show with limited tickets and a high demand. And often these shows have already been sold out. And a lot of these scammers create legitimate-looking event company pages that usually consist entirely of Facebook events for similar shows. And then they promote it on Facebook, which costs the scammers very little to do. And many users will click on interested or going as the post scrolls by in their news feeds, which provides the event with a sense of legitimacy. Unfortunately, the link to tickets for the events doesn't point to an official ticket outlet. Instead, the scammers will insert links to ticket resale websites. Now, these already exist in what you might call gray areas. These sites are commonly used by scalpers who buy tickets en masse to flip for 2, 3, or 4 times the price. The more sought after the tickets, the more profit there is for them to make. And quite often, they don't even have the tickets to sell in the first place. They just make the whole thing up. And if you're lucky enough to get your ticket, you'll be paying vastly inflated prices for it. And if the ticket never arrives, most reseller websites point to the terms and conditions that state that they're not responsible for any sellers that don't deliver. Now, which one of us wouldn't like to find out we'd won a prize or a lottery? Well, most of us wouldn't fall for a letter in the mail that tells us we've won a lottery that we have no recollection of entering. And most of us wouldn't fall for an email or random message on Facebook telling us that either. But what if you get this exact message and a message from a friend telling you they've already cashed in their winnings? This is the advance fee scam, also known as the Nigerian Prince or the 419 scam. They violate Section 419 of the Nigerian Criminal Code, which deals with fraud. But there's a twist. Compromised accounts are the perfect breeding ground for this sort of scam. The endorsement of a friend that you trust could be enough to get you to go ahead and take part. And these friends will often comment they saw your name on a list of winners, which you should always treat as a red flag. Ultimately, the scam takes the same turn as every other 419 scam out there. You'll be told there's a processing or an administration fee that has to be paid to send the money to your own account. And sometimes scammers try multiple times to get you to pay fines or transaction fees related to the balance. Suspiciously, these fees can't be subtracted from your winnings. And by the time you figure out what's going on, you could have put hundreds or thousands of dollars into the scam. I mean, the lure of $150,000 would persuade many of us to spend $1,500 without a second thought. Now, you've probably seen gift card or discount coupon scams advertised around the web, but never clicked on them. But that's not the case when they're shared by a friend. That's a tactic a lot of scammers rely on to recruit more victims. A friend shares a free gift card or significant discount code to a big retailer on Facebook. And curious as to what's going on, you click on it and are asked to fill out a form so you can get your code. At the end of the process, you're told to share the post, at which point you'll receive what was promised to you. Well, the problem is your gift card or discount never arrives. You might not think anything more about it, but you've already been scammed. Personal information, particularly names linked to addresses, a date of birth, or a valid email address, all have value online. They're for sale by the hundreds on the dark web. Your details may be sold to spammers who use it for marketing purposes, and you'll get a lot more cold calls and unsolicited emails. Sometimes scammers will try that scam in reverse by sending fake gift cards to a physical address. Then when you activate the card by visiting the link on the back, your information is taken to be sold somewhere and your gift card doesn't work. You should immediately be suspicious of any competition or offer to ask you to share the post as part of the claim or entry. Facebook and Twitter cracked down on this behavior years ago, and it's no longer tolerated as a valid means of entering competitions. Now, Facebook Marketplace and the buy-sell swap groups on the platform are a useful way to flip old items or buy secondhand goods in your local area. But there's also a huge potential for things to go wrong through scammers and rogue actors. You shouldn't buy an item on Facebook Marketplace you can't inspect or pick up yourself in person. This is not eBay and has no buyer protection in place to safeguard you against sellers who don't send the items you bought. And actually, the sellers often use personal payment features reserved for friends and family on services like PayPal where there's no ability to reverse the payment. It also opens you up to other problems like meeting a seller in private to conduct a cash transaction and then get robbed. Well, if you are meeting somebody in person as a result of a Facebook Marketplace transaction, do it in a sensible, well-lit, and public location and take somebody with you. If whatever you're buying sounds too good to be true, then it probably is and you shouldn't show up. Facebook Marketplace is used to quickly sell on stolen goods, particularly gadgets like tablets and bicycles. If you buy stolen goods and they're traced back to you, you will at the very least lose whatever you bought and will likely lose all the money you paid for the item. If the authorities think you knew the goods were stolen, you might be charged with handling stolen goods as well. Of course, one of the big ones right now is a romance scam. They're elaborate and a lot of folks have been deceived. Much of the time, the scammer uses a relationship to extract money and other goods from the victim. And these scams can have disastrous consequences, way beyond the financial loss if they go too far. Always be wary of anybody you meet online, since it's difficult to prove that they're who they say they are. Even phone calls and webcam conversations can appear legitimate while being ultimately deceptive. Unfortunately, many of those lured by this scam are unable and unwilling to see they're being used. Now, the main red flag to look for in a romance scam that, in regard to somebody you met on Facebook or anywhere online, frankly, is asking for money. Now, their reason may seem convincing, and they may tug on the heartstrings in a bid to persuade you that they have a legitimate need. They might say they're short on rent, that their pet needs an operation, or a car needs urgent repairs. But this scam can take a very dark turn when a scammer wants more than just money. Recent case of a Sydney woman named Maria Esposto demonstrates just how badly things can go wrong. She was found with over 1 kilogram of methamphetamine in a backpack in Kuala Lumpur Airport while traveling back from a trip where she was supposed to meet a U.S. military soldier who said he was Captain Daniel Smith. Well, her supposed love interest didn't show up at the airport. She was befriended by a stranger who convinced her to carry the backpack back to Australia. She was convicted by a Malaysian court of drug trafficking and sentenced to death May 2018. She spent 5 years in jail and 18 months on death row before her conviction got overturned. She was released. Now, this was a somewhat unusual turn for a romance scam, but not the first time it happened. In April 2011, a New Zealand woman named Sharon Armstrong was found trafficking cocaine out of Argentina because she had also fallen for a romance scam. Then there's the one where clickbait is used to spread malware. Now, this is the same technique used all over the web by deceptive advertisers to drive clicks. You'll see an advertisement for a shocking video or an amazing transformation or some other similarly scandalous title. And when you click on it, you'll be taken through a few redirects before landing on a website that tries to install malware on your computer. Now, on Facebook, these links often appear at timely intervals, like when the social media network is discussing the rollout of new features. Some of these scams offer to add features to your account, like the fabled dislike button or the means to see who's viewed your profile. Frankly, if in doubt, go quick internet search should reveal any legitimate changes, and you can ignore the clickbait. And while Facebook can remove links or add disclaimers next to misleading and fake stories, the use of URL shortening websites and redirect links are used heavily to evade detection. Now, many, of course not all, scams can be avoided if you follow one simple rule. If it looks too good to be true, it probably is. And for the rest, you just need to be cautious and always question the motives of the person who's engaging with you, whether it's at a Facebook event, a sponsored post, or an unsolicited message. As Facebook continues to grow and have a more significant impact on how we live our lives, these scams are bound to occur more frequently. And on crowdfunding sites, scams are just popping up all over. Well, unfortunately, there are many crooks out there. I got a message that a friend of mine had traveled to Europe and had been arrested and needed money from me to pay the bail. Now, the individual in question was actually a appeared on some QVC show, so I knew how to get in touch with her. And she said her email had been hacked, and this message went out to dozens and dozens of people. The sometimes you get messages. I mean, Facebook is Messenger is a great way to keep up with friends and family, but scammers use it as well. One individual got a note over Facebook message. It appeared to be from a friend. Even had their name and photo. I mean, why would you question that? And but what gave them away is they asked if the recipient had received the money, had heard about the money that this person got from the International Financial Corporation grant. And the friend urged them to apply because they're granting a lot of money before the end of their fiscal year. And they wanted to send a link for him to click on so that he could go there. Well, at that point, he knew it was a scam. And didn't fall for it. You know, basically, there's some precautions you can take to prevent these incidents. Never accept an invitation from somebody you don't recognize. Or even, sometimes it will say just Facebook user. And even if you do recognize the person, or if they're already a Facebook friend, be suspicious when you get the kinds of messages over Facebook Messenger. If you're not sure it really is your friend, you need to contact them some other way, like a phone call, an email, or even a text. And if it's not the friend, block the person that sent you the message. Report it to Facebook. On the app, tap on the little I tab and click block and then report something's wrong. You know, never pay for a free grant. I know a lot of people who've done that. They're going to get, I got one the other day. I had someone with my same name had died and left $3.9 million. And there were a few fees involved since it was going to be crossing borders. And if I would pay the fees, they would send me an ATM card with the money on it. And I could pay the fees by buying gift cards from Walmart. I got another one that said I was going to get $7,000 a day through Western Union. It gave me all the information, and all I needed to do was pay the Western Union fee. Of course, Western Union didn't know a thing about it. And then there's distress scams. And I mentioned those earlier. One of your Facebook friends needs money because of a situation they're in. When in doubt, contact them directly. And be especially cautious when their attachments sent over Facebook Messenger or in an email or text. Quite often they contain malicious software. And be equally cautious with links to a website. If you fall for it and land on a page that's supposed to look like Facebook, and it may have a similar blue logo and familiar layout,
motion detected at the front door.
Look at the URL, which is at the top of the page. Who sent it? Okay. Okay, let's see. You know, scammers are getting more and more sophisticated. They can clone a friend's page, and quite often their spelling and grammar gets better. And they find out everything they can about you and try to figure out what your password is. And whether it's a smartphone, tablet, laptop, or desktop, enable auto-update so your operating system will be updated whenever there are software patches to vulnerabilities that are found. And use anti-malware software and keep that up to date. There are many, many interesting approaches to try to get your money from you. And frankly, if you have a Facebook account, you're at risk of being scammed. Now, they're not just prevalent on Facebook. You run into scams all over the internet, and in fact, in other social networks. Over the years, there have been a number of scams that have popped up. And one way that scammers trick users is by imitating the email template from Facebook so you look like you got an official message. And once you click through the email to Facebook and enter the login information, they can duplicate your account, hold it for ransom, begin asking your friends for money. You know, viral videos are very popular on social media pages, especially if they're funny, shocking, or scandalous. And since they're irresistible to many folks, they're also the perfect bait for scammers. If you click on one of these videos as part of a scam, you'll be asked to update your video player. When you do, it downloads and installs a virus into your system. The one that I get about every month or so is from somebody who gives what they say is your password, and the fact that they have gotten into your system, activated your camera, and seen you visiting porn sites all over the internet. And in order for them not to send their video of you enjoying the porn site, shall we say, you need to pay them $1,800 in bitcoins. And I used to get them once or twice a week. The last couple I sent to the FBI. Now, whatever you may think about the FBI, they can, if they want to get off their rear ends and do it, get to the bottom of these things. Now, Facebook accounts can be used to crack other passwords. If your account's duplicated, your information can be used to determine the answers to knowledge-based authentication questions that are used to verify the identity of the account owner. And then after duplicating your friend's account, scammers can use the account to get you to pay them with the promise of returning much more. Your friend is going to tell you they paid an amount and got a huge return, recommend you do it as well. And then criminals also use Facebook to determine if a potential victim's at home or not. Publicly sharing information about vacations and other times when you're away from home is exactly what the burglars are looking for. And then, of course, we have free coupons. And I'm sure you've seen this many times. You promise free coupons at large retailers worth more than usual, or maybe a free vacation. All you need to do is use your Facebook login on the site and you'll get a free vacation. Or your social media identity will belong to somebody else without the vacation. Then there's geo-stalking. Through geo-stalking, a criminal can use a GPS technology built into social media to stalk and find a target. You frankly should turn off your social media location settings and update your privacy settings to help protect against geo-stalking. Then there's video message scams. I mean, this scam has been around for a long time. It usually includes a link to a video with a description from a friend and a question like, "Is this you? LOL." The link is normally a virus or a browser hijacker. Then anytime you see a notification or a message about who's viewed your profile or somebody who's unfriended you, it's probably a scam. Facebook does not advertise these types of activities as of September 2020. And then, of course, everybody's favorite, the contest scams. Contests, prizes, and lotteries are another common scam. Could be as simple as setting up a fake page on Facebook, marketing it, and collect information for everybody who joins. You know, one of the interesting things about all these scams, you have to wonder. I mean, you may think you don't have anything worth stealing, but your identity itself is a valuable commodity. And you can go on the dark web, and in fact, I wrote a book about how to get on the dark web. And you can buy information on people you would not believe would be available. And then, of course, on WhatsApp, there are free COVID-19 money offers. You see a message on WhatsApp or Facebook offering you free help during the pandemic. And a lot of folks reported seeing messages that seemed to be from Pepsi and Walmart and Whole Foods and Target and other big name brands. And they offer money to people who need it. Grants, coupons for food support, other types of giveaways. But they're all fake, and they're not from the companies that appear to offer them at all. You might get this type of message, either in English or Spanish, from a friend or contact. Tells you to click on a link or to get your money. And if you click, you'll find a survey to take. Or they might ask you to enter your name, address, phone number, other information, and ask you to forward that message to several friends to be eligible to collect. And what they're doing is actually running a scam to collect your information and that of your friends as well. One that I've gotten recently is, in fact, I've had 4 or 5 in the last month. I get phone calls from official phone numbers, like the IRS, telling me that I'm in violation of the law. And they have frozen my Social Security number, and they're going to issue a warrant for my arrest unless, like, if I want to talk to somebody, push 1. And when you do it, you talk to somebody who says you owe all this money, and if you don't pay it right now, they're going to send somebody out to pick you up. And, of course, and it's usually elderly people that get hit with this, and they may not be as worldly as most folks, and they don't know what to say or do. And they say, "Well, what do I do?" And I say, "Well, you go down to Walmart, and you buy a gift card, and then you call me with the information, and it will collect the money that way." Well, the IRS does not call you, number one. They don't. They send letters. They also don't take money from gift cards. They don't tell you to go buy a gift card from Walmart or someplace else. And it can be quite frustrating. I ran into one, and a lot of the agencies that supposedly these people come from don't call. They operate by mail, so there's a paper trail. They just arrested and convicted a guy from India who had been running one of these things for years. He said he'd made $65 million. And several people said they couldn't figure out why everybody working for the IRS was from India. Because you talk to one person, they would refer you to his supervisor, who would refer you to somebody else, and they were always had an Indian accent. Because they were scammers. The unfortunate thing is, financial fraud, especially during this time, has just gone crazy. So, say you get a call from somebody from the, say they're from the Center for Disease Control, and they offer information about COVID-19. And you may think, well, that makes sense. You know, government's trying to get folks notified. And then they ask for something in return, like your Social Security number. Your life revolves around that number. Now, as if the coronavirus outbreak isn't stressful enough, these have been exploiting the pandemic as a way to rip you off. From January 1st to June 25th, the Federal Trade Commission has gotten more than 78,000 fraud complaints related to the pandemic. Victims reported losing more than $97 million. Using emails, texts, phone calls, and digital ads to push everything from bogus charities to phony COVID-19 test kits, cyber thieves are employing a variety of tricks to separate you from your money. There's 11 that the government says we need to watch out for. Contact tracing text scams. Contact tracing is the process of tracking down anybody who may have been exposed to the coronavirus so they can take precautions against spreading it. State health departments often initiate this process with a text to say that somebody will be calling. Well, scammers have noticed this and sending similar message. Their text asks for money or Social Security numbers. And there are links to malicious websites. Then there's the test kit scam. And while the FDA has authorized several in-home test kits for COVID-19, most of the advertised kits haven't been approved and aren't necessarily accurate to begin with. One particular target for this particular scam is Medicare beneficiaries. These crooks are offering tests in exchange for Medicare and other personal information. And there have been reports of fake testing sites, complete with tents and workers in hazmat suits. Then you got fake Fed phishing scams. Phone calls or emails may claim to be from the CDC. And the caller ID may say the same thing, offering information about the virus in exchange for personal information or donation. That's a tip-off you're not talking to a federal agent if they want a donation. Then you got medical scams. Calls or emails from doctors or hospitals claiming they've treated a friend or relative for COVID and they need payment for the services and the friend doesn't have the money and they want you to pay it. Then there are stimulus scams. Anyone due to receive a stimulus payment is bound to be anxiously awaiting it. Some thieves are claiming they can speed up the process or offer new stimulus payments in exchange for a fee or personal information. Or they may claim to be IRS agents and say you're overpaid and have to refund some of that money to them. Then there's the charity scam. Taking advantage of people's goodwill, thieves are pretending to work for coronavirus-related charities and asking for donations. Well, if you want to donate before you give any money, make sure it's legitimate. Check out the WatchGirl group like Charity Navigator and then call the organization directly. Or if you want to donate, donate through its website. About three times a week, I get calls from people who say they represent veterans organizations or law enforcement organizations or firefighters organizations, and they're getting ready to do their fundraising campaign. Could they depend on me to send money? And I always say, I donate a lot, but I donate locally. Well, could I donate just $20? That would help. They keep at it. Then there's the miracle cure scam. Now, there's not been a vaccine prior to the announcement on Friday that the vaccines were being sent out. But that hadn't stopped crooks from pushing fake products that claim to prevent or cure the virus. Air purifiers, essential oils, herbal teas. It's all fake. Then shopping scams. Non-existent stores may claim to sell products in high demand like masks and hand sanitizer. And since they're just fronts designed to fool consumers, these products never arrive and the website for the company eventually disappears. How about app scams? They prey on fear and curiosity. Scammers have created mobile apps they claim are designed to track the spread of COVID. While the app may appear legitimate, maybe even using official data, it may also include malware, spyware, even ransomware. And then we have the get-rich-quick schemes. Buy the stock of a company that's about to announce a cure for COVID-19 may sound like it's too good to be true, and it is. Big payoff promised by these fake investment opportunities don't come. The thieves just disappear. And beware of any email claiming to be from the financial department of a student's university with information about stimulus checks. Links take you to a site that looks like universities, but it only exists to steal your login credentials. Well, there has been dozens and dozens of attempts to get our information. I've had bankers from almost every bank in the world contact me that somebody has died and they don't have any heirs and all that money is going to be taken by the government and they want me to help them sneak it out of the country. If I'll give them my banking information, they'll deposit the money in my account and I get to keep 40% just for helping them. I've had it from military members who, especially after Saddam was killed, I got email after email from soldiers that said that they had found hidden money and they wanted me to help them sneak it out of the country. All I had to do was give them my banking information and then have it deposited in my account. I just needed to give them 40%. Excuse me, 60%. I'd keep 40. And, of course, my favorite are from people who are dying of cancer and they want to use their money to do good works and they want me to be their partner to do all these good works. And I get to keep a percentage just for being so helpful. And as of last count, I had the United Nations had cracked down on these scammers and my name was on the list and I was going to get $275 million for the pain and suffering I had dealing with these scammers. All I had to do was send information to this particular individual who was handling my money. And then in one case, they said they knew I was going to send it, but he had to leave the country, so the money being put on an ATM card and I needed to send somebody else, the ATM fee and my information and the card to be sent to me. Then I had one individual said he was here in town at the airport, and he just needed me to go ahead and arrange a room for him, and then we'd get together and work everything out. Well, we've come to the end of tonight's show. I think people need to be aware of all the scams that are going on. Normally we talk about creatures of the night, and I guess you could say that these scammers are creatures of the night. They're trying to do you harm. Well, until tomorrow night at our same time, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.